Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. On Monday, November the 1st, 2021, today is All Saints Day. Many Roman Catholics and other Christians around the world observe All Saints Day, which honors all saints of the church whose sainthood is known only to God. All right, the Buckmaster Show. Two more months, we will close out year 11, then begin year 12 here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. And how about our list of podcasts? My goodness, almost 11 full years of pretty much every program we have done over that period. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every Monday, we kick off the week and the Buckmaster Show with our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe and his team, including his lovely daughter, Corinne. They would be more than happy to take care of all of your framing needs. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And they're on the web at moesgallery.com. They have a very kind of revamped, beautifully updated website. Again, moesgallery.com. Our team of commentators seated to my left, Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and to my right, Shelley Kice, one-time congressional candidate, current chairwoman of the Pima County Republican Party, and a member, current member of the Continental School District Board. Shelley and Don, welcome.
Thank you.
Morning.
Don, I want to say congratulations. You have been elected, right? Elected?
Selected.
Yeah, selected. Yeah. Drafted.
Yes.
You are will be the district governor for Rotary Club International, representing all of Southern Arizona?
It's the District 5500, which covers all of Southern Arizona from south of Phoenix, from border to border. And so I'm quite honored to have been selected to be district governor in 3 years.
So you will be like kind of the spokesman for Rotarians here.
In a sense, yes, but we've got a lot of great clubs and they speak well for themselves. And mm-hmm. I'm just honored because it's apolitical, a little different from today, but
yeah.
That's one of the strengths of it. And the focus is on service to others, both with great projects in every community as well as around the world. And it's just a privilege to be in this role. And one of the exciting things was a big convention this weekend where I had the chance to talk to a lot of young people about leadership and service to others. And it's very exciting and uplifting to see the energy that these high schoolers have and their commitment to the future. So we're in good hands.
Yeah, Shelley, a lot of people say the young people don't have any interest in service clubs, in political organizations like the local party you head up.
We don't see that. We see young people getting very involved. Mm-hmm. I had a great evening the other night. I went to Pizza Hut and I met with a husband and wife and two other single women. But what was interesting was the husband and wife had their six kids. These were the best behaved kids I've ever seen.
Six kids, well behaved?
Yes, in Pizza Hut.
At a Pizza Hut?
I know.
What
it was amazing. Whatever they're doing, they should have six more.
Mm. All right. And you had a successful Lincoln Day dinner, I understand. Your attendance was very good.
Our attendance was 500. It was probably one of the largest Lincoln Day dinners for the Republicans in Pima County, probably in 10 to 20 years.
Don, is there an equivalent of that for the Democrats?
There is. Not surprising. Ours is the Udall dinner.
Oh.
Which honors Mo Udall, and
sure.
With also recognition to his brother Stuart Udall.
Uh-huh.
But the Mo Udall dinner takes place. It was moved. It's usually in the spring as well, but COVID has changed a lot of schedules. But that's the equivalent where we also bring in folks with great national reputations, and of course it's a fundraiser for the Democratic Party in Pima County as well.
Don, a lot of Democrats upset with this redistricting, the redistricting lines that have been drawn. It was a five-member commission that drew up these new legislative lines and congressional lines. Why are they so unhappy with this?
Well, the whole point of the Independent Redistricting Commission is to come out with is to promote fairness rather than the kind of heavy-handed approach to drawing maps that we saw prior to redistricting committees. And we're seeing this around the country where legislatures have for years and still do in most states draw the maps. So if you have a legislature that's heavily Democratic or heavily Republican, they're going to draw the maps to favor them. We've seen that this year in Wisconsin and particularly egregiously in Texas, where the legislature there created maps that skew heavily white. For example, there, and I'll get to what's happening in Arizona, but there you have, 40% white population, but 60% of the districts represent them. You have blacks, Hispanics almost the same at 39%. They only have 19% representation. Then you have 12% black population, zero districts. That's what happens when the legislature does it. In Arizona, redistricting came into place after 2000 and went through the process there, with the focus being on creating fair districts. Now, the Republicans have opposed that from the beginning. Even this past year, the Republicans in the legislature trying to weaken the plan. But it was passed by initiative, so the Independent Redistricting Commission exists. As you said, it's two Democrats, two Republicans, and independent. What's happened this year is that the Republicans have, in different ways, starting with the governor, have tried to put their thumb on the scale as much as they could. The initial candidates that got down to that final five were selected by what's called the appellate court on or commission on appellate court appointments, 15 members. Only a few months before this process started, 11 of those members were Republican. There were no Democrats on the commission. That three of them were appointed at the last minute by Doug Ducey to show the appearance. That's how it started. It got down to where it is now, and you have two Democrats, two Republicans, and the independent. The maps have been proposed and changed through the last several months. There have been a lot of opportunity for public input, both online and in person. To get to the end of it, what happened is it was a last-minute switch of maps that were created by a Republican operative and kind of snuck through a lobby group and hand-delivered essentially to one of the commissioners who jammed it in at the last minute.
That's why
Democrats were upset.
Was it sneaky? Was it that sneaky as Don portrays, Shelley?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Your vice chair, so perhaps you should.
Well, I think you're referring to our second vice chairman, Anna Clark, who submitted a map on her own. She has every right as a citizen, as many other citizens have done, to submit maps, and that's what this is all about. The Democrats are upset because they have, for 10 years, the Republicans have had no representation in Pima County. And even the Democrats would tell you that that is probably not a good idea to draw districts that make it so difficult that we don't have a voice in Phoenix. And so we don't have anyone in the room to represent what's going on in the city of Tucson and in certainly in Pima County. Now, in 2012, we elected Ethan Orr. In 2014, we elected Chris Ackerley. And in 2016, we elected Todd Klotfelter. All three of them only served one term because they were in heavily weighted Democrat districts. What we're seeing in the maps that you look at, that we see now, I'm not sure if it's the map that Anna submitted that got approved. It's 10.0. There's also a 10.1 and a 10.2. But what you see now is that we have the opportunity to have two districts that are Republican represented out of seven. But here's the really good news. Forget, I'm so tired about hearing all these categories of people. We're all human. And so we all have the same needs. We have the same needs to feed our families, send our children to good schools, be able to earn a living, have living wages and good jobs. But all I hear coming from my my colleague here is that we're talking about, you know, the blacks, the Hispanics. The Voter Rights Act covers that, and that is written into this. So what you see in Pima County is that we have districts that are representative of minority populations. And so that's already built into it. But what, you know, we have seven districts. That's the first thing that everyone in Pima County, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, it doesn't matter what you are, you should be really excited about that. The fact that we held our own, because the discussion going into this was that we would probably have just five or six legislative districts, because the majority of the growth was in Pinal and was in Maricopa County. So the fact that we're going to continue to have seven legislative districts is a huge win for all of us in Pima County, because our voice is going to be heard in Phoenix, and that's what we're looking for.
Let's pause right here, Don. I know you want to rebuttal that. So we picked up one Arizona legislative district, Shelley?
No, we had seven.
We held our ground. So we held
seven. We have seven legislative districts.
And you are saying that is something we should rejoice in. Is that your point?
Yes, that means that we're going to send 21 legislators to Phoenix.
All right, and we'll have Don rebuttal that after we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Was up yesterday at Mona's, had a great breakfast. I have rediscovered my interest in blueberry muffins. So I've gone off of the chocolate croissants, which are still a very popular item up there. But now I've moved over to the muffins. And, oh, my goodness, this blueberry muffin I had yesterday was just fabulous. Steve, the owner and chief baker, came over and sat with Ann and I at breakfast. And we talked about messaging for November. And guess what the messaging is? It's going to be a very busy month with Thanksgiving up at Mona's Danish Bakery, and Steve's getting all ready. So they will be accepting orders very soon. In fact, you can go ahead and start planning right now about what dinner rolls you want and your particular pies. Mona's Danish Bakery open Tuesday through Sunday, 6:30 for breakfast in the morning. They're open there at lunch, so check it out. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Where did the year go? We're talking about Thanksgiving, Shelley.
I bought my turkey.
You what? Already?
I did.
They're running around out back?
Oh, no.
My goodness.
Everyone I'm talking to says, if you want it, buy it.
Right. Yeah.
So we bought our turkey yesterday afternoon.
Well, you are prepared. All right, we'll take our break right here. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, The RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Hugh Hewitt, and keep listening to Bill Buckmaster. For more news and interviews, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his daughter, Corinne. They do such a great job over at their beautiful shop and gallery. They've got some great art on the wall over there, walls of Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. And moesgallery.com is the website. Don Jorgensen is here and Shelley Keis. Don, Shelley was saying and contending, as before we talked about Mona's Danish Bakery, which is something the three of us, whenever we sit down, we all agree on. We don't agree. Our political guests here, you guys take different points of view, but when we talk about Mona's, we all agree. But anyway, Shelley was saying we should really rejoice in the fact that we held steady with seven legislative districts.
Parts of seven legislative districts, and many of them take in other counties, very rural areas, and that's, you know, folks are familiar with gerrymandering. That's what happens. There are a number of challenges that the commission has, and it has to do with meeting certain responsibilities with regard to equal populations in the, particularly in the congressional districts. But then you get into dealing with competitiveness. You're dealing with geographic boundaries. All these other issues that these current maps ignore in many ways. Now, I'm glad that, talking about Tucson, that Shelley contradicted herself, first saying that there has no opportunity for Republican representation, and then mentioned that there has been. There has been because the districts have been competitive. One party likes competition. That's the Democrats. We want to see competitive districts and fair districts. The Republicans don't, and that's why we're seeing these kinds. But we've had three Republicans elected in LD2, LD9, and LD10 over the past 10 years, but they couldn't get reelected. The population didn't change, and so the voters made the decision, and that's what's happened now. The same with the congressional districts. When they were created 10 years ago, you had four safe Republican districts, only two considered safe Democratic districts. That would be Raul Grijalva's and Ruben Gallegos. And then three that were considered competitive. Now, the Republicans were squealing because Democrats win competitive districts. And that's why the Democrats have a 5-4 advantage among the congressional districts. The legislative districts, you've seen what happened over the past several years here with the population changes in Arizona, Democrats have come as close as they have in a very long time to equalizing or winning one of the houses in the Senate, where it's just 31-29 in the House and 16-14 in the Senate. That scared Republicans to death, and that's why they've tried to put their thumb on the scale and create now these gerrymandered maps. And I'll give you an example. One of these districts that Shelley's talking about, 17, goes from Red Rocks, you know where that is,
sure,
almost
right
to Picacho Peak,
I-10.
All the way around over Oro Valley, across the Catalina Mountains,
what?
And down to Vail. Now, that's by definition, that's gerrymandering, and gerrymandering in a way that completely avoids or is almost as anti-competitive as you can get, because the way that's drawn, Democrats are expected to only have a 29% chance of winning. That's not fair. That's not competitive. That's not why Arizonans put this commission into place.
All right, Shelley.
Well, so I hear everything he's saying, and of course that is the District 17 that everybody's talking about, and it does go like that. But let's talk about the one thing that we do have in common there. Oro Valley, Marana, Tango Verde, they do not want to be in the city of Tucson because of its extreme failures on so many different levels. So when we talk, you know, keep saying that you're putting the thumb on the scale, you know, this process hasn't changed. This is what it was 10 years ago. And, you know, you're saying that it's a competitive district. Well, let's see, over 10 years, seven districts, that's 21, that's 200, you know, seven, now I'm getting ahead of my math here, seven times districts times three representatives, doing it over a five-year period, and we got three people elected for a two-year. Yeah, I don't think so. Those districts were heavily Democrat. But why are we caring about whether it's Republican or Democrat? Why aren't we caring about the fact that everybody in Tucson wants to be represented in Phoenix? And we all want to have a voice in Phoenix. Wouldn't that be probably a more important discussion to have? I mean, if we end up without the majority... If we end up without the majority in Phoenix and we don't send anyone up who's in the majority, whether it's Republican or Democrat, we don't have anybody representing our needs down here. And you know what? I live in LD2, Don, and for the past 10 years, we have sent a representative up there that has not passed one bill, has not spoken for the people.
Explain why. Because the Republicans have the majority and they refused even to look at or put forth any Democratic bills in the legislature.
Well, that's not true, because another one of the representatives from LD2 did get a vote passed. So obviously that's not
one.
True.
There's
and
one.
No,
out
there's
of how
two.
Many bills?
There's two.
Out of how many bills?
I don't know how many
hundreds.
Bills, Don, but I'm telling you that if they don't know how to walk across the aisle and get things done, then that's a challenge. But the one term that Chris Ackerley was in there, during that one term, he passed five bills that helped the people of Santa Cruz County, whether it was whether it had to do with floodplain issues, whether it had to do with a provisional college. Those are things that everybody can get around, and nobody that represents us now took those forward. We need people who are going to represent us. And look, I'm ending up in Raul Grijalva's district. There is absolutely no community of interest with the precinct 84 that I live in. But the precinct 84 that I live in does not have anything in common going over to Yuma and including the T.O. Nation and every place else. You want to talk about gerrymandering? That's where they took the second largest Republican precinct in Pima County and they put it in a district where they would have absolutely no chance of having their voice recognized.
This is the challenge because, as you mentioned, Ackley did get several bills passed. They were bills similar to what Democrats have tried to pass for years and years, but because you had the Republican majority in the House and in the Senate in Phoenix, they wouldn't consider them when they came from a Democrat. And,
well, that's
and
why
that's
it's important
the issue.
For us to have a Republican.
That's why it's important for us to turn the legislature over to the Democrats who know how to get things done and who represent everyone fairly, not just the extremists.
Well, the question, the big question that we're going to have right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, is if we look at what the polls are saying right now, when asked which party would do a better job on border security, inflation, crime, national security, economy, getting things done, actually, it's the Republican Party by as much as 27%. As far as getting things done, the polling, and this is an NBC poll, the NBC poll said getting things done, who does a better job? Republicans by 13%.
And yet, so, in the last 4 years, what did they get done? They passed a billionaire tax break, and that was about it. They did nothing on infrastructure in 4 years. You're going to see Biden accomplish that in less than a year. That's just one example. You have a booming economy now. You have unemployment down. You have all kinds of successes that have come about in less than a year. So if you want to look at who gets things done, who helps the middle class and not just the billionaire class, it's the Democrats that are getting those things done. And that's the opportunity that Arizona citizens deserve in our state as well.
You know what? You couldn't convince me of that. You couldn't bring the numbers up to show me that. But I've got a poll that was done by NBC, and NBC is not a friend of the Republican Party. And they're recognizing that, in fact, the Republicans are leading the way. We're going to see it tomorrow. We're going to see it tomorrow in Virginia and likely even in New Jersey. And we're going to see it big in 2022.
All right. Got to go. Shelley, thank you very much. Shelley Kice, thank you.
My pleasure.
Don Jorgensen, thanks, Don.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985. They're located conveniently midtown, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Their website, check it out, looks really good. Moe'sGallery.com. We'll take a break. It's our midway point of the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the first day of November. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, an extraordinary collection of handcrafted mesquite furniture, Mexican folk art, pottery, lighting, just some beautiful items on the 13-acre Green Acres. It could be called Green Acres. The Green Things site, Zocalo Village, is the place for all of that wonderful pottery and beautiful furniture. And of course, Green Things has everything you need for the garden. 51st year, Green Things still growing, 3384 East River Road, open daily. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for Zocalo Village. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Retired four-star general John Wickham Jr. served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year in the hospital recovering. He returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all of the prisoners of war. A 1950 graduate of West Point, General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. This highly decorated veteran is a man that the Army Times calls one of the 10 leaders who changed the Army the most. General Wickham is retired and lives in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General Wickham, how are you?
Fine, Bill. Wonderful to be on your great program.
Thank you very much. I want to talk about your friend, now the late Colin Powell. In his autobiography, Colin Powell cited you, General Wickham, as the man who most influenced his career. That is really quite an honor for you, General Wickham, and I know you were very close to Colin Powell.
I was very close to him. A wonderful man, and the nation is blessed to have him for a short period of time in leadership roles.
Tell me a little bit about when did you first meet Colin Powell?
When I was serving as a executive to Jim Schlesinger, Secretary of Defense. That's where I got to know him. And he was assisting the Secretary of Defense in the office. So he was in a senior position, and that's where I got to know him. And we met the Secretary of Defense, worked closely with him, Cap Weinberger.
How did you help his career, do you think, General Wickham?
Well, you know, Colin is a minority officer, and so I think in that sense I helped him. He had some difficulties in the military, but I made sure that those difficulties did not interfere with his career, and I made sure that he got jobs that were instrumental. For example, when I was nominated to be Chief of Staff, I appointed Colin as my representative to go around the Army and talk to all the senior leaders and get their view on what needed to be done to fix or improve the Army. And the fact that he was doing that on my behalf gave him visibility in the Army, and a lot of the senior leaders realized that this man is very important.
He was being passed over by some, perhaps because he was an African-American. Do you think that was the reason?
Oh, yeah. I think that was a problem in the Army at that time.
How did you go about changing that, General Wickham?
Well, the selection boards were made up of general officers. And what I did, I wrote in my personal handwriting, "You will select minorities in accordance to their density in the Army, or explain to me why you could not." Well, the effect was electric. And the boards started doing that all over again. They had stopped doing it, and they were only selecting minorities at the rate of about 3%, whereas the minorities were up around 16 or 18%. So we would not have any more Colin Powells if I hadn't done this. And Colin was instrumental. And then, of course, he had a job as working for Cap Weinberger and became a deputy, in a way, to Cap Weinberger. And so that was instrumental for the benefit of the Army and the nation, as a matter of fact. So Colin Powell was a unique man that did everything he did in the military for the benefit of the nation and not for the benefit of Colin or anybody else. He was totally dedicated to the nation, and America is benefited from his quality leadership.
Well, he thought the world of you, and he put that in his autobiography, so I know you've been mourning his loss, and rightfully so, but he will be remembered. How will he be remembered? Do you think he will be fondly remembered, not only in the Army, but generally?
Yes, he will be, in part because he is a dedicated American, and his biography reveals that. And everything he's done reveals it. And he's got a son. His son is married to a white girl. So there's an integration in his own personal family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a revelation. But Colin did wonderful things for the government and the nation, and that will indicate what he's going to be remembered for.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Take care of yourself. General John Wickham, 93 years old, still going strong. General Wickham, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for your wonderful program, Bill. Very important for American residents to hear you and hear the dedication to America.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham with us. We have Keith Rosenblum next with our border report right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And in a moment, we will be going to the live line in our border report with longtime border reporter, observer Keith Rosenblum. But first, want to talk about our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They are ready with open arms to welcome you to their beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. So much to do. This is the perfect time of year over there. Temperatures in the 70s, maybe upper 60s, lows upper 30s, perfect time of year to get out, do some hiking, all sorts of outdoor activities, and just kind of hanging out in a neat little town, a lot of Victorian architecture. You'll be very surprised. If you've not been to Silver City, you will enjoy your trip. Visit, and here it is, southwestnewmexico.org. Spell out Southwest New Mexico and then .org, and you'll learn everything you need as you prepare for that road trip. All right, let's take a telephonic road trip with Keith Rosenblum now. Keith, how are you?
I'm just enjoying being your longtime observer of the border.
Well, you have been. My goodness, you worked for the Republic. You worked for the Star when you were working for United States Representative Colby. Congressman Colby was just so into border legislation and border affairs.
An old kind of Republican, right?
Yeah,
kind
I mean,
actually believed in trade, free markets, conservative role in government. Very different than the new Republicans.
And the North American Free Trade Agreement, that was a big deal, NAFTA, and now
it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Jim. Because remember, it passes during the Clinton administration, and Clinton needed as many votes as he could get. And so to get the Republican, to make sure he has the Republicans on board, ideologically and politically, he gets Jim. Mm-hmm. And Jim makes it happen because it was not, I think the NAFTA vote was something very close. It was of the 435. I can't remember. One of the numbers sticks in my mind is 213. So that was probably the number against it. So it didn't pass by any, it was hardly one of those declarations of war, you know, that goes 434-1 or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jim was responsible for that, and he was as the parties have changed their roles through the years, you find yourself wondering how could one party go from being in favor of free markets and in favor of free trade to being perhaps the most restrictionist ideology that there could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking about your background. We have similar backgrounds. Both of us grew up on the North Shore of Chicago, a very privileged area. I went to New Trier. You went to Evanston Township High School. Big rivals there. You went on to Northwestern. Where did this love, how did this love of Mexico develop for you?
I wish that there was a backstory to it that would make you weep or make someone even, shed a tear for me. Actually, I come to Tucson, my first job in 1978, at the invitation of Bill Westendick, who was the executive editor of the Daily Star.
Mm.
And I'm going to be here for the fall and then go on to another paper.
Huh.
And after the fall internship was up, they said, hey, do you want to stay on? So I thought, okay, I'll stay for another year or two. And I think it's last kind of, well, I mean, now I've been here for 40, but the stay at the Daily Star was 12 years. The stay at the Arizona Republic was 3. And then a lot of freelancing. One day, if you're unfortunate, and I don't think there are in-flight guides anymore, but I did writing for every kind of publication. But the answer to your question is that I came out of Northwestern believing that we were supposed to keep the world safe for democracy. And so I come out here and I write memos once I'm here about, well, this strikes me as wrong and we got to save the world here and there. And I got my first taste of, we'll call it corporate journalism, because the Daily Star, as much as I have my heart there and as much as I love the people there, when I would bring up stories that we should do, generally they were quashed. It's like, Keith, come on now. We're not going to. So prior to that time, you'd go to the 50s, 60s, 70s, when a newspaper would get a call from someone saying, hey, I'm going to sue you, you know, because you did this or that or because I'm really angry.
Yeah.
Generally, in the newsroom, you'd see that as a point of pride. Starting in the late 70s and up until now, you'd be amazed at how newspapers back down and say, well, you know, okay, let's not go ahead and explore that. So anyway, bored with the newsroom environment, I asked if I could take a leave of absence and go travel Mexico. And they said, sure. So Frank Johnson gave me $50 a week and said, go do a manual on how to cover what's going on in Mexico. You know, tell us who's who. I did just that and went and did my own internship at El Imparcial newspaper in Hermosillo. And one thing leads to another, and I wind up covering Mexico for them, learning the language just with a dictionary in my hand. There's no internet. And then doing the same thing for the Republic and realizing just how this has been my great lesson, Bill, is how it's amazing to have two countries with such the next to one another, and such a void of knowledge one to the other.
Right,
so I've had the privilege of being the Cyclops, telling people with the one-eyed person, because I don't consider myself to have two, saying this is what I think is going on, but whoa, have I learned what gulfs or voids of information can be for people living right next to each other.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. You've got this giant first world country, and then you I guess, I don't know, does Mexico still think of itself, or many Americans still think of, you cross the border, you're into the third world. I don't know.
When you cross the border, you're into the, I'm glad for the pause in your conversation there, because it's all three.
Right.
There's
right.
First world Mexico, where they've got more than you'll ever have, Bill, and
right.
more than most of us will ever have, and they know more about the fashions in Paris,
sure.
and what's going on in New York. They know everything. That's the first world Mexico.
Yep.
And the second world Mexico is kind of transitioning. They've tasted the good life. They have family who live up here. They'd like to acquire more. They can come up here, you know, in older cars, and maybe for a couple of days. They're not going to stay at the Westin La Paloma. They will stay at a, you know, Red Roof or a Super 8. And their kids are either going to school in Mexico at mm-hmm. a public school, or they come up here and they pay. The University of Arizona and ASU and Pima have huge Mexican populations, so they, you know, pay to get them through. And then there's third world Mexico, and they don't have visas, and we don't see them anyway, mm-hmm. most of them, mm-hmm. because then as you go further south in Mexico, obviously you get poorer and poorer. But there's plenty of third world Mexico right south of Arizona. You know, go south of Naco or Agua Prieta or Santa Cruz or Sonoita over by, you know, on the way to Rocky Point. And there's plenty of third world Mexico, and those people are genuinely in the world where they're lucky to be earning the equivalent of $10 or $15 per day, and they will not get visas to come visit us, and we don't see them. And it is like going to, you know, the poor parts of Guatemala or Brazil or anywhere else in Latin America, or for that matter, in Africa.
Fascinating. Three worlds right there at our border, 60 miles south of where I am broadcasting right now. A quick update on the situation with the border. I know there is a change finally coming, correct?
My understanding is that the 18th is the day where we say to people, if you have a vaccine, you're welcome. And that's after 18 months, I think. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pent up. I was at a Costco earlier today, and there's lots of people at the Costco, but there are almost no Mexican license plates out in that parking lot. So it was a long wait and the traffic was terrible. So if it's been, you take into account the pent up demand that must exist in Mexico for coming to Tucson for everything, especially prior to Christmas, and you wait, we're going to see some good traffic and some good lines in all our stores here.
Well, let's hope so, because it's a huge amount of business, isn't it, for our area?
At every turn. I'm talking about people who pay for fees or pay for service that in the medical world, not just the hospitals, but all the specialists. I'm talking about the hospitality industry. I'm talking about ball games, talking about you name it. And the Mexicans are absolutely a part of our economy. And we've gotten along without them for the last 18 months, and we're going to realize when the boom comes, which will be second part of November and December, January, just how buoyant the economy has been anyway, and that's without the Mexicans. Wait to see what it can be if we allow it to really roar.
And that will come at a perfect time for us and for everybody, I guess, right around the holidays.
There's a tradition in Mexico, and everyone that I know, you come to Tucson, in general, some people come every other week, but there's an awful lot of people who make one long trip or two trips per year. And no matter what, even though there's free trade, even though there's Costco's in Mexico, and even though there's still nothing like the United States when it comes to systems of distribution and just being able to our roads. All these things make dollar for dollar coming up here, if you live in northern Mexico, better than going to the south, put it that way.
How about the supply chain issue? Has that been an issue for the maquiladoras that operate on the other side of the border?
Absolutely. In fact, the question is propitious because Ford is shut this week in Hermosillo. I think it's this week. They're shut for a week. Because they can't get parts for their assembly line. They're full bore.
Really?
Stamping an assembly plant in Hermosillo. I forget which model they're doing right now. It's a Bronco, I'm pretty sure, the new Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay, this is really interesting, they pay their workers 3/4 of their hourly wage when it's a company-caused shutdown. So they have I forget how long this scheduled stop is, but there was one recently also that was, I want to say, maybe a week or 2 weeks as well. This one I think is for a week. Mm. And while there's no work because of the demand and they have the supply, the deal is this. If you go into any store in Tucson with products that come from Asia, you see the shelves that are bare, or you see lots of the same product over lots of shelves, which is the way that they kind of cover the keeping from having bare shelves. Lots of supply issues, and the same thing applies to the Mexicans at every turn. The maquilas, exactly the same way. They've had the same issues because so much of the, and in their case, they're not worried about the Port of L.A. or, you know, Port of Seattle or Long Beach. They're worried about the ports of Mazatlan, Lázaro Cárdenas, Guaymas, and they have the same issues of those right. Mega boats that aren't coming in.
Going to have to run our border report with Keith Rosenblum. Good information. Great talking with you, Keith. Thank you.
Fun, Bill. Be fun to discuss the return of the Mexicans in a couple of weeks.
All right. We'll look forward to it for our December border report with Keith Rosenblum. On behalf of Keith and John Couch, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster here saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.